And I just want you to know this morning, wherever you are at in your faith journey, whatever religious background or no religious background, follower of Christ, do not know Jesus yet, I want you to know you're welcome here. Always welcome here. I want to jump in this morning, and what I want to talk to you about is being ready for the battle. Ready. Being ready for the battle. And I believe that life is a battle for every one of us. I don't know anybody, honestly, that isn't facing some type of struggle. You know, it can be with people, it can be with circumstances in your life, circumstances around us. Sometimes it's a battle with our own selves. I know for me, there were years filled with insecurity, years of feeling unsettled, anxious, trying to fit in, trying to figure out who my friends were, wanted to be included, wanted to be loved. And I think that is the desire of nearly every human heart. But let me state right up front, I don't believe that the battles of life are a bummer. Sorry, I don't think they are. I believe that life with its battles is an incredible opportunity. The key word this morning is that first word, ready. To be ready is a wonderful thing. You walk into the classroom, the exams get distributed, and you're ready. And you're not even worried. You know you're going to ace it. You're prepared. They tell me that's a wonderful feeling. I never experienced that. We say the words, we've been saying them for years, you know, we're going to run a race, the kids are going to play a game, they're going to play hide and seek, and we'll say the first question, the first word is really a question. Say, ready? Kind of saying, are you ready? Ready, set, go. I pray that this morning when we leave this space, pray that every one of you are ready, fully equipped, empowered to face whatever the day, whatever life brings to you. You know, in Jesus Christ, we have new life. We have a new identity. You are not this morning. You are not what your parents think of you or your peers or what your teachers think of you or even what your pastor thinks of you. Don't ask. You are what God thinks of you. Remember in Ephesians, the second chapter, it makes a powerful statement about this. It says, remember, you were separate from God. This looking back behind us, that in the past, you were separate from God without hope and without God in this world. You once lived in this world without God and without hope, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, the writer says, present tense, you belong to Christ Jesus. And when you belong to Christ, I'm telling you, that changes everything. You know, some of you that have been around for a while, you might remember Doc and Patsy Lewis. He was a district superintendent. I mentioned we have a district superintendent coming this Sunday, and Dan and Jackie are great friends of ours, came into the district the same time we did. But when Katie and I came to church here, we were not Christian people. We were not the kind of people that you expect to have in church. And Doc and Patsy Lewis was the district superintendent. And somehow he found out that I messed around with sound systems and so forth. And so they were having an event. I think it was a pastor and wife's retreat thing. And it was here at Clare Church of the Nazarene. And so Doc Lewis, he said, Tim, would you and Katie, would you come and do the sound for this event for us? Just love to have you take care of that. Would you do that? And I still remember our walking in here, you know, and it's just kind of safe up there in the sound booth. You know, I mean, those guys up there, they take naps, eat snacks. You know, you don't even know what's going on there. So we're up there, but I mean, I'm just telling you, we were fish out of water. I mean, a whole bunch of pastors and their wives here, and we already knew what they thought about people like us. And so we're just up there in the sound booth doing our thing, and they're getting ready to eat, you know, and I would kind of like to eat, but, you know, we don't. And Doc and Patsy got a hold of us, and they said, "You and Katie come on down, and you sit at our table with us." And I mean, just like that, we went from being rejected to being included, seated at the head table. I mean, I know, that sounds kind of lame. I still remember it. We were lame, outsiders. And they brought us in, and God used them, and we were able to help in a whole bunch of events, and God was at work. You know, there's nothing like being included, being chosen. You know, that's the theme of Ephesians, that you and I have been chosen by God, invited to sit at his table. Verse 3 of the first chapter, it says this. It says, "Look, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's God himself. "Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." And then I want you to notice those last two words. He's blessed us with all these spiritual blessings in Christ. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us. That means you. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How does he do that? In Christ. I mean, blessings like being chosen, being redeemed, being loved, forgiven. How do we get access to these spiritual blessings? The Bible says you have to be in Christ. Throughout the whole book of Ephesians, you'll see that Paul uses these phrases like in Christ, through Christ, by Christ. Those are powerful statements. They tell you, here we read promises, we read things that God is going to do in our lives, but we have that qualifier there. These things happen if we're in Christ. It's through Christ. It's by Christ. And the third verse, it says, God has blessed us. He says, with every spiritual blessing. There it is, in Christ. Verse 5, he adopted us as his kids. Through Christ. Come down a couple of verses to 7. We have redemption. We've been set free and forgiveness of sin. But where does it come from? Those first two words. It's in him. It's in Christ. All these blessings about being adopted, redeemed, forgiven, every spiritual blessing, these are given to those who are in Christ. So I got a question for you this morning. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? I mean, most of you are in church today. I know some of you are not really here. But most of you are in church today. Sometimes you are in school, or you are at work, or you may be in a business. You may be online. But are you in Christ? And does Jesus Christ reside in you through his Holy Spirit? It's through the man himself. It's through Jesus Christ that we can sit at his table and receive access to all of his blessings. For the next couple of minutes, I just want to take this time and focus on what you already have, what has already been given to you if you are in Christ. The first thing this morning is you are chosen. I love this. God chose us. Look at this. Before the creation of the world, I mean, think about that. Before the creation of the world, God had you in mind. Before any of this was. I mean, that's how special you are to him. He chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world. He chose that those who are in him would be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us. Who is us? Who's predestined? In love, he predestined us, those who are in him. You know, this letter of Ephesians, this was addressed to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul says here, if you are in Christ Jesus, then God predestined, he predetermined that we would no longer be outsiders. Now, I know this morning, I'm just going to touch this for a minute, because I know some of you get real nervous about that word predestined. And I know, because, you know, here's the thing this morning. Man, we come from all kinds of different places, don't we? Different faiths, different background, different religions. I love that about us, because we're not a religion here. We're a family of faith. And we can take, and you know what? And people still retain some of those different ideas and different theologies. And guess what? We can love one another. You know, some say that word predestined means that God pre-decided who would be a Christian and who wouldn't. Which is kind of a bummer, because if he didn't select you, you're toast. But I want you to know, if you were brought up with that doctrine, that's okay. But I want you to notice that that's not what's being said here in this verse. What's being said here is that for those who are in Christ, that he predetermined that those that are in Christ would be adopted. God chose in advance that those who were in Christ would be adopted as his kids. And there's that phrase, it only comes through Jesus Christ. That we're actually his kids, that we're part of his family. This means that God had you in mind before anything existed. You know, I don't know about you, I love to be chosen. You know, I still can't believe it. 27 years ago, Katie chose for me to be her husband of her own free will. She did it freely. Sometimes she can't believe that she made that decision. But here's the thing. She still chooses me every single day. Even more than she did back then. Even though I'm bald and pathetic, she still chooses me. Do you know what it's like this morning to be chosen and accepted by another person of their own free will? The Bible says that God chose you. And not only that, but he determined in advance that those who put their trust in him, that isn't going to be good enough, that he chose in advance that they would be adopted as his kids, as his sons and daughters. You know, if you're not a follower of Christ this morning, this is available to you if you confess your sins, put your life and your trust and your faith in him. Number one, God chose you. Number two, you are valuable. You're valuable. Some of you don't feel that way. You feel devalued. You know, I heard a guy talking the other day. His wife had tore a page out of the magazine and saved it to show him. She said, "You know, look at this article. Look at what this 13-year-old daughter said to her mother." The girl said, "I hate you. I wish you would die. But first, can you drive Cheryl and me to the mall?" I mean, what a twerp. I mean, sometimes your own children can be the primary source of our feeling devalued. But I'm telling you, if we base our value on what a 13-year-old thinks of us, we're in big trouble. I gotta tell you, or even what our boss thinks of us, or your neighbor, or the coach, or your sister-in-law. I mean, who cares what your sister-in-law thinks of you? You know, who cares? The only question that really matters is, what does God think of you? He's crazy about you. Remember Ephesians, that seventh verse in the first chapter tells us, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. You know, the word redemption means to be restored to its original value. You know, we were created in the image of God. You know, we all have value, but sometimes it gets tarnished by sin. But when you redeem something, you restore it to its original value. You are so valuable, every single one of you, that Jesus spilled His blood to save you. That's the price that God paid, to redeem you. God asks you today, where were you getting your value? You know, some of you grew up with parents that were impossible to please. You know, parents that no matter what you did, it wasn't good enough. If you got C's, they wanted B's. If you got B's, they wanted A's. If you got straight A's, they wanted you to get extra credit points above and beyond. You know, you might be in your 30s or 40s or even your 50s, and you're still trying to gain your parents' approval. You know, they might be dead. But in the back of mind, you're still hearing, you're not good enough. Never were. You're still listening to your parents' voices instead of God's voice. You know, man, let me be honest. If you didn't get your parents' approval as a child, pretty good chance you never will. But let me tell you something that's even more important. You don't need it. You don't need your parents' approval in order to be happy in life. I mean, think about it. There's 8 billion other people on the planet, folks. Is it okay if one or two of them don't like you very much? I mean, I got a bunch don't like me. I mean, if 8 or 10 or 20 of them don't like you, so what? Plenty of others who will. But please, you know, understand something this morning. You will never feel completely valuable until you find your value in Jesus, who so values you that He bled on a cross to redeem your life. So to be ready, you know, to be ready for the battle, you have to remember this morning that you are chosen, that you are valuable. And I got to tell you, you need to reject what you are not, because you are not what others think of you. You are not your past. You are not your failures. You are not your degrees, your looks, your body shape, your financial position. You are none of these things. In Christ, you are chosen. I mean, it's amazing. You are chosen and valued by God. There's a third thing. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with, here it is, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Man, God's grace is a treasure that He lavished on us. You know, I listened to a dad here the other day telling about going back to his parents, taking his kids back to see their grandparents a couple times a year. He said, I still remember we would pull in and mom would be out there waiting for the grandchildren, and they would get out of the car and go running to her. She would wrap her arms around them. It was like they would almost disappear into her apron. She hugged them so hard. And then when she got done, she would cup their faces in her hands and just plant kisses all over them. And when she finally had enough, take them into the house, and there on the kitchen table there would be snacks and treats and cookies and pies and all kinds of good stuff. And the kids would just dive in, and when they got done, she'd take them into the living room with all the cookie crumbs still on their face and pull some board games down, get down on the floor with them and play games for a couple of hours. He said every time in the afternoon she'd take them on down to the local store, and they would get to buy any kind of candy that they wanted. and they get ready to go and take their candy, and she'd stick a $5 bill in every one of their pockets and plant some more kisses on them. You know, he said, Dad was kind of like, see ya. But Mom lavished her love on those kids. Was it because they were so good? No, they weren't that good. Some of your kids aren't either. I've seen them. They weren't that good. She lavished her love on them because it was her nature. Grace, the grace of God, is encapsulated, I think, in that good old verse, John 3:16. For God so loved us, loved the world, that he gave his son. That's grace, folks. To lavish love and grace on our lives is God's nature. You know, he can't help it. He can't help himself. He lavishes his love and his grace on every one of us. Our Heavenly Father, his love, that's perfect. He wants you to know him. He wants you to experience him. He wants you to embrace and respond to his love. I'm telling you, God loves you. He does. Let me tell you something else. I don't want to preach about this. I ask God quite a few times, are you sure? And the reason that I didn't want to preach about this is because, to me, it seems like that we live in a religious world and culture today where we make God into this kind of a Santa Claus God, this boyfriend Jesus. You know, you can cheat on him, you can fall down 173 bazillion times, and he'll just love you and pick you up and dust you off. I don't, but that's cheap grace. Grace is not cheap. He paid, he bought us with a price. But it's up to us to choose. It's up to us to respond. And I didn't really want to talk about this stuff. I really didn't want to talk about God's love. You know, sometimes you want to talk about judgment. I was headed to hell for a lot of years. If you're on your way to hell this morning, you ought to be scared. And I hope that somebody does talk to you. But I want to tell you something. The reason should be something bigger than fear. The reason that it matters is because of God's love. And I just got to tell you, God needed to talk to me about this. I needed to be reminded. God needed to open up my own heart to the truth that he chose and he loves. And he values you. There's a fourth thing. You are forgiven. But notice those words, in him. It's in Christ. In him you've been redeemed, and your sins have been forgiven. You know, in earlier in verse 4 of this chapter, we get a little bit of insight to what this forgiveness is all about. God chose us in Christ to be holy, not perfect. Holy, look at this, and to be blameless in his sight. I got to tell you, I spent a lot of my life that there was just stuff all the time, and I was to blame. I've told you before, I was a very responsible person. You know, my mother told me all the time, you know, that there's trouble, there's problems, stuff's bad. I'm the one who was responsible. When it says that we are blameless in God's sight, it means that God no longer blames us for our sins. He sees you. I think what happens is God sees you this morning. He sees you through the perfection of his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid for your sins. And he says, you, that's you, and I, he says that you and I are now blameless in my sight. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what the sins were. Doesn't matter what's in the past. If you are in Christ, God says your sins are forgiven. Jesus paid the price. God no longer blames you. But here's the problem this morning. You can be forgiven, but some of us don't feel forgiven. Because it's possible to be forgiven and still not feel it. To be forgiven and still struggle with feelings of guilt and shame and regret over the past. And here's a reason why I think that is. I think that's because while forgiveness is permanent, the effects of sin are persistent. It's so important. You can be completely forgiven. Forgiveness is permanent. What I mean by that is buried in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered against us no more. Forgiveness is permanent, but I'm telling you, the effects of sin can last for years and years. God forgives any and all sins. He'll forgive dishonesty, stealing, abuse, divorce, abortion, sexual sins. If you repent of any of those sins, He will forgive you. You can be completely forgiven and you're blameless in His sight, but the effects of those sins can persist for a lifetime. And if you're young this morning, even if you're not that young, be careful how you live your life. You know, be careful the choices that you make. You can be forgiven for any and all sin. That's wonderful. But you can undo the damage to your health. You can't undo the emotional damage. You cannot undo the damage to relationships that will never be the same. There's another thing about forgiveness. Some of you don't feel forgiven because there's unforgiveness in your heart towards another person who hurt you. You know, I get it. Maybe what somebody did to you was absolutely horrible. Maybe somebody lied about you, destroyed your reputation, destroyed a relationship. They betrayed you, abandoned you. And what they did is what? Yeah, unforgivable. That's the word that we use. But man, honestly, just as a pastor that loves you this morning, who is being hurt by your unforgiveness? You remember that old statement, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies. Because that spirit of unforgiveness is caustic. It's corrosive. It eats away at our souls. I'm going to go so far to say that it is evil. And the only way to get free of that is to bring it to Christ. Lay it down. Never pick it up again. Ask him to free you and to restore peace and joy, and that if you even think about picking it up again, that he'll remind you and speak to you. I need to be clear this morning. Forgiveness does not mean that you begin trusting them. That could be foolish. It doesn't mean that you forget. Sometimes you need to remember in order to protect yourself. It does not mean reconciliation. It doesn't mean that you should have a relationship with them. Forgiveness means that you let them go and let God deal with them so that, don't miss it, so that you can be free and so that you can experience God's forgiveness in your own life. Let God deal with it. He sees it. He knows it. So, how do we go from knowing these things? Knowing that you're chosen. Knowing that you're forgiven in Christ. How do you go from knowing these things intellectually to actually experiencing them, feeling them deep in your soul. I'm not very good at it. It's easy for me to tell you, embrace your identity in Christ. You know, you're chosen, you're valued, you're loved. But in the end, I struggle with self-deprecation and doubt and forgetting who I really am in Christ. Do you know why Paul wrote these words? Who he wrote them to? Paul spent more time in Ephesus than any place else that he went in any of his missionary journeys. 3 years. And the work at Ephesus, the church that was planted, is considered to be some of the most fruitful times in all of Paul's ministry. God worked in Ephesus. He's writing back to them. These words that we read, he's writing back to these Christians, you know, less than 30 years since Christ had went to heaven. He's writing back to them because they were in trouble and they were struggling. They forgot their identity. They forgot who they were. They forgot that they were God's chosen people. The old pull of stuff was pulling them in, and Paul devotes line after line, verse after verse, chapter after chapter. He doesn't jump in to reprimand their sins, to reprimand the things that they are doing, but he just pours out on them the truth of who they are in Christ. Let me just say one final time, in Christ, you are chosen. That's who you are. You're not what others think of you. You are not your past. You are not your failures. God has chosen you. You. He values you. God loves you with a lavishing love. And I know that some of you would say, Tim, I don't feel chosen. I don't feel valued. I don't feel loved. I get it. I wish that I had the silver bullet for you this morning, but I think that Paul gives us something here that we need to grab a hold of, because I think what we're talking about this morning is so common and so prevalent for us to be saved and born again and redeemed and loved and chosen, but we lose track of our identity. Evaluate ourselves and how we compare to somebody else or what somebody else says about us. Number one thing I want to say to you this morning is saturate your heart and mind with God's truth. You have that in His Word. In fact, I'm just going to say, this next week for some of you, you just need to open up the Bible and just read Ephesians 1st and 2nd chapter. They're not long. Every day. Read them again every day. Listen to what the Apostle Paul just beautifully lays out. This is who you are. You're God's chosen, loved, cherished, forgiven, redeemed people. I needed to hear those words. And I know this morning that some of you are not in Christ. Is today the day to change that? God extended His forgiveness to you, but you have to be in Christ. Quit trying to do it on your own. Quit striving to do it your way. Just confess your sins to Him. Ask Him to forgive you, to be forgiven for everything you've done. I mean, think about it, to be forgiven for everything you've done. It's the greatest thing on planet Earth. And it's available to you. So I want to pray with us before we go. I want to pray for those of you who know Jesus, but this morning you somehow lost a hold of that identity of who you are in Christ. Man, go back to work on that every day. I can tell you, sometimes when I pray, I don't do this all the time, but for stretches at a time, when I pray, I'll either start or I'll end, then I'll say something like this: Father, this is your beloved and cherished Son whom you love. I don't say that to remind God. I say it because I need to remind me. This morning, you don't even have to say it out loud, but if you don't know him today, as we pray, just simply tell him, Father, I'm a sinner. I'm tired of this. Forgive me. Forgive my sin. I want to be in Christ, and he's waiting to do that in you. So, Father, touch our lives. Go with us today. Remind us. Remind us that what we're talking about is not in our heads, but it's in our hearts and in your word. And it's in your word that we can find that source of strength and truth, that we are in Christ, chosen, valued, forgiven, redeemed. So as we walk out of here today, may we walk out with that truth resonating in our hearts. And if there's individuals today who made that decision today to follow you, come and tell one of us. Share that word with somebody as quick as you can. I'm in Christ now. I'm in Jesus. All we can do, Lord, is say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love. In your name, amen. Love you guys. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week. And remember, you do not have to listen to any of us preachers. There will be a guest here. Don't miss it. See you next week. You know, I really tried so hard.